these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Writer and the Fighter. I'm your co-host, David Golden, from OregonSportsNews.com. With me is my main man, Jake Smith of Bellator MMA. What's happening, bro?
Yo, what's cracking?
Oh, not a lot. Just yeah. just came in hot coming over here.
Yeah, a little too hot, man. I'm still feeling it. Like I'm lightheaded right now. It's not my best moment. No. I feel bad because I just kind of like stormed in. I was like, I gotta use the bathroom. And like, I see your lady off to the side. I was like, should I say hi? I was like, I ain't got time. I felt so bad. I was just sitting there. I'm like, fuck.
No, she knows, man. She's married to me. She gets it.
God, yeah. I really think I might have like irritable bowel syndrome too.
Probably, man.
Yeah, because there's times like I'll just eat like there's like certain foods I'll just eat mm-hmm. and it's just, you know,
it happens. Happens to the best of us,
dude.
Last night I had Ethiopian food. My stomach's fine. My stomach was fine, but you really? Never know, man. You never know.
And I fucks with the Ethiopian food. Where'd you go?
There's this place out by my buddy's house in Hillsboro. I don't even know the name of it. It's two restaurants in one restaurant.
Oh,
one
really?
Side is a Mexican place and the other side is an Ethiopian place. they split it and you walk in and there's the dude who runs the Mexican place is always out at the counter and he's like, yeah. Are you here for Mexican or he sees me, my friend.
No, really?
Yeah. He totally knows. But
that's funny.
The lady knows us now, so she comes in and she knows what we want. Just,
yeah.
Yeah. So
pretty legit.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not as good as Queen of Sheba, but it's okay. Like, it's all right.
All right.
I'm not mad at it. You know, yeah. We do a veggie plate because they have like a killer vegetarian menu there. But last night it just wasn't like as good as it had been. Mm. I don't know. They can't all be home runs, you know?
Yeah, you know, it happens.
But moral of the story is my stomach felt fine. So that was good.
Well, I'm glad yours is fine because mine is not. I am I'm lightheaded. I'm clammy.
I think you're just you're still recovering from the shock of DC becoming the champ.
There was no shock, sir, because if we all remember correctly, I have called it correct.
Made the pick.
Wait, that's right. Holloway Ortega got canceled.
Yeah, it sure did.
That was the other pick. I was like, I know we made two picks.
Yep.
Yeah, which I'm glad because it looks like Holloway is. I don't know. Did you see the video?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
I think he's done.
I don't think he's done. I think something weird was up. I read one thing they were saying.
No,
something.
No. He's going to come back and fight, but I'm telling you right now.
Oh, you don't think
his chin's
going to
be gone. Yeah, his chin's going to be gone.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, there are some reports saying that it's not due to concussion, that it's due to like overhydration or something. Like they say, like if you're, I don't remember. I read something stupid online about it, but
you said overhydration.
It's just like the not overhydrated. Just like the amount of water he drank was too much, and it like it can almost make you seem like you're drunk. But why would that happen for like a whole week, right?
Yeah,
because there were reports leading up for the whole week, but
yeah, but see that yeah, that doesn't make sense.
But let's talk about that first. Let's just get into that because I thought that was a really interesting story for the whole week.
So I was out in DC when I found out. I was sitting there and
out in DC, sweating your fucking ass off. I bet,
dude, I hate the East Coast. I hate it.
And you were there at the worst possible time.
Yeah, it was so muggy and hot and.
Yeah, man. The heat index, I mean, it might be like 102 out, but the heat index puts you at like 115. It feels terrible there.
It was only at, it was 90 degrees out there with like, I don't know, how much humidity
at least.
Fuck. And like Rick and his girlfriend were making fun of me because I was just sweating. I'm just sweating the whole time.
Dude, you see me? I get hot just in this room. I sweat easy, man. Yeah. I would be dying out there.
Me and Fabiano were just like, we're just two fat kids hating life. Just walking around, waddling around this fucking hotel, trying to find somewhere cold. But yeah, so you know, when I got news of it and I saw the video and it's like, his speech, you know, just mm-hmm. slurring in his eye. Man, obviously his coaches and corners know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
They pulled him for a reason. If it is hydration, I've never heard of that.
Because you know he had issues making the weight in the last fight.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe that the the thing that I read was saying like he was trying to make
like
these adjustments.
Waterloo, right?
And he, yeah, exactly. And he overdid it and he fucked up and it made it, you know, it made him all kinds of messed up for this week. And he wasn't in his normal routine. And so like, that's why it's a little bit believable to me, only because, you know, like if it's not your normal routine, if you're not used to it, you're not ready for it. Like I get that. That kind of makes a little bit of sense. But either way, man, whether it was a concussion or water load or whatever it was, like at least people were smart enough to pull him from the fight. Like, yeah. I could totally see if that was the only fight on the card and it was like a huge, you know, if it was like a Conor McGregor card, I could see them trying to hide it, you know, behind the scenes. Like, don't tell anybody. We'll put him out there anyway. Like, yeah. I can see that happening. But I think it's cool that the people were finally for once looking out for the health of a fighter because, you know, God, who cares if someone passes out trying to cut weight as long as they don't fall and hit their head and no one sees it happen. You know, nobody says anything.
I heard that he didn't even like the high, like the cutting process wasn't even started at all for him.
Yeah, they hadn't started it yet, and he was all out of whack.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where they're trying to hide the actual fact of a concussion.
They're mitigating damage. They're trying.
It has to be concussion, dude, because that just doesn't make sense.
It seems like it. But I mean,
you're slurring. Your eyes droopy.
Totally.
When you fall asleep, you're not waking up. Those are all signs of concussion. You know.
You know what it reminded me of? Like I have sleep apnea pretty bad, and when you have bad sleep apnea, you'll be sitting there like. You and I could be having this conversation and you'll start talking and I will just start to fall asleep, like nod off. And there's nothing you can do to stay awake, like as much as you want. And I'm watching that video of him and it almost looked like he had sleep apnea. Like he couldn't keep his eyes open. He was like, you know, and then he'd kind of like sit back up and he'd start to answer the question. And you could tell he knew that he needed to think of what to say, but it was coming out slow. Mm-hmm. And that's what it reminded me of. Like your body's just drained because you're not like, you're not all there. Like, but even if it's that or whatever it is, like assuming it's a concussion though, like I kind of think that's what most people are assuming. Assuming it's a concussion, I'm a little worried. Like I think I mentioned to you, or I mentioned online at least, that I immediately thought of TJ Grant, the former UFC lightweight title contender.
Yeah.
He was set to get the next shot at the lightweight title. He was in jiu-jitsu. Bumped his head, literally took a tumble and hit his head, and he never recovered from the concussion symptoms ever. And he stopped fighting and he just kind of disappeared. And you know, like,
actually, you know what is funny is that, well, it's not funny. Around that same time, there was this girl, maybe it was a little bit after, but anyways, there was this girl that would come into my, my strength and conditioning, like workouts, like she had the same coach as me, and she was still in high school, right? And she played soccer, and something happened, like she hit her head or something while
took
she was
a ball
playing
off the head or something.
Yeah, something like she ended up getting like some kind of concussion, and she would like kind of come in, and you know, she's like, yeah, you know, I'm still kind of dealing with this thing. She couldn't work out too hard, so she would do something real light. But like it was like this ongoing thing for like months. Like she would like pass out. It was serious. Like she couldn't play sports anymore. Like everything, she had to stop everything.
That's crazy.
And she was still in high school. Yeah. So, yeah, man. Like everyone's head is different, you know. Do you remember what's his name? Bradley, boxer. Timothy Bradley? He beat Pacquiao in that bullshit decision. Well, in one of his fights, I think it was against the Russian. I can't remember his name either, but whatever. He said after that fight, he said his speech was slurred for like 3 months straight. Like there was a period where it just lingered for like 3 months. He couldn't do anything because there was a moment where he kind of just disappeared from everything, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm thinking with Holloway, just because of the speech. Like,
yeah.
You know, I can see them saying like, yeah, the hydrate, whatever, because of the tired, but the slurring of the speech, that does not make that. There's no, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it seems like he was concussed and probably suffered more than one during his camp if it was that bad or one really significant one.
Look at his fighting style, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know, man. I feel for him. And I honestly think when he does come back, you know, they're trying to say what? They're trying to get him to fight.
It's like the next
card or something, right? No, he's not going to be ready. Ortega's going to knock him out.
Well, I mean, I'm on record saying I thought Ortega was going to win anyway.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But still, I'm a little concerned for him. But
me too.
I like the way people reacted to it. You know what I mean? I like that people called him out on it. I like that. Yeah. I like that the fight got pulled. I don't think it was. You know, it could have been detrimental. You know, like that he could have gotten seriously injured. He could have died.
Yeah, yeah. Jinx, you owe me a soda. yeah, man, that's fuck. Like, just the fact that, you know what? I don't know if Bisping even had an idea that maybe that might have been a situation for him Bisping to ask.
Knew immediately.
For him to ask, like, hey, man, like, what's going on?
Yeah, Bisping knew.
Big ups to him on, you know, pointing it out, too. Not just trying to be just an analyst or, you know.
Totally.
An interviewer and just ignoring it.
Well, so. I mean, and, you know, you guys are all fighters. Like, you guys have a weird bond, whether you hate a guy or not. You still have, like, a, okay, I respect you. You fight, too. Mm-hmm. I get it. Like, you know, that's something that not everybody has. It's just like when you wrestled, you know, you meet another person who wrestled and it's like, okay,
yeah,
you get it, you know. Yeah. Same thing. Or, you know, guys that play college football, you know, they have a mutual respect. Yeah. And it's the same thing. These guys are fighters and it's even more intense with them because the sport is serious, you know. It's hand to hand combat. Yeah. And this is a sport where regulations get overlooked a lot of times. And so I think you're right. Yeah, big ups to Bisping for calling him out on it. And
yeah,
big ups to Fox for posting the video online. Big, you know, just I'm happy it was handled the way it was. I'm sad that the fight was off. You know, that was kind of a bummer, but
of course.
But you know, that's
safety. I mean,
yeah, that's no big deal. And yeah. And you know, the card was obviously was a stacked card, so it stacked didn't really anyways, matter it anyway.
Didn't make a difference. I mean.
But yeah, it was a solid week of fights. There were a lot of good fights this week. Yeah. You had the PFL that you were at, Cornering Rick Story. You had Ultimate Fighter season 900 finale, whatever it was.
Yeah,
it always cracks me up when a Ultimate Fighter winner fights in the UFC and they're like Ultimate Fighter season 23 winner.
Yeah, yeah.
23? What the hell?
I don't even remember that season. Who else was on it?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, it's crazy. But
yeah, man. I mean, you know, International Fight Week, right?
So apparently, man.
Yeah.
Apparently. How did it go, Corner and Rick?
So yeah, the PFL, it was cool. I'm gonna go out and say this real quick, like straight off the bat. I fucks with PFL. I think they're cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, they treated us well. We had a good room. They took care of us. They're taking care of the fighters there too. Like kind of talking and you know finding out each fighter's pay just for the regular season and like the you know before the playoffs, they're looking out for the fighters.
Yeah.
They paid up
for talent that could have easily signed with other promotions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like Rick could have re-signed with the UFC.
Yep.
You know, like
100%. He actually turned down the UFC.
Yeah. Could have signed with Bellator. Could have signed with anybody. Yep. You know. Yeah. So I mean, they're paying up for people for sure.
Yeah. They're bringing in some new guys who you know you might not know, but they got some talent. I mean, the card was a good card. If you watched it, I don't know if how many people really watch it. That's the only gripe I have is I feel like they're not marketing themselves. Yeah,
they're
enough.
Not advertising it very hard.
Yeah, because like even you know I knew this fight was coming up, but like I had to ask Rick like, hey, when is your fight again? Because it's not like I'm seeing commercials. It's not like you know you're seeing it.
Not everybody watches NBC Sports either. You know
that's
what I
another
mean?
Thing
they're not
too.
Like,
yeah.
They're not ESPN and they're not Fox Sports.
And it's on a weird day, Thursday.
I like that it's on Thursday, just because there are no other fights on Thursdays. You know, what I mean?
So
you have your day. Like UFC's not going to have a Thursday show. You know, generally
still,
speaking,
you gotta get that out there. You know,
yeah, totally, man. Yeah. 6 p.m. West Coast time on a Thursday. That's 3 o'clock on the East Coast. It's going to be a tough.
No, it's 9.
Or 9 o'clock on the East Coast, sorry. I've been watching Max
Thursday.
Holloway videos. Yeah. It's contagious. Or 9 o'clock on a Thursday, yeah. And it's, you know.
Exactly. People got work. So.
People got work, and it's, you know, whatever. And they're going to watch, you know, the East Coast. They're, like, loyal to their teams out there. So if there's a Yankee game on, they're going to watch that, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. But,
yeah, man, it was, like I was saying, it was a good card. You know, my boy Rick, he... He went out there and did his thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm the greatest coach in the world, but you let me know what my record says, huh?
Well, I will say, so I'll say what I noticed from the fight, and you tell me if you think I'm off base.
Oh, I will.
So Rick was stiff as fuck in round one. Mm. Like, he came out there, and I don't, like, I know some people don't believe in ring rust, but it had been a minute since he was in a cage.
Yeah.
And he looked really stiff. Like, that first round, he looked stiff. He was throwing like pretty heavy single shots, and his hands were pretty low. I mean, I know classically he kind of throws like that. Like, he throws power shots from a little bit low, but he had his hands a little low, and he looked pretty stiff. And it seemed like at least throughout the fight, it seemed like maybe the humidity was taking a toll on both of them. I don't know how it felt inside the arena, mm-hmm. but both guys were super sweaty. And yeah. but that first round, he looked pretty stiff. He didn't look super comfortable. And then he came out in the second round, and I mentioned online, I'm guessing you guys told him in the corner he needed to throw combinations, because he came out in the second round and he started throwing in pairs and, you know, throwing at least two shots at a time. And he got remarkably more comfortable as the fight went on. And you could see a difference in him. And man, he was landing with some fucking power. That guy must have had a chin on him.
Right? Oh, yeah. So everyone's like, oh, Rick looked real stiff or this and that. Honestly, I don't think so. Because if you actually watch what's going on in that in the first round, when Rick tries to throw anything with power, he's slipping. He's like, everything, he's that canvas is was super,
it was very
slippery.
Slick.
Super slippery. You can see him stumble a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And like I don't know if they picked it up or heard me yelling about it on the thing. I hope not, because then Rick's probably gonna get fined. But I was cussing. You're not supposed to cuss. And I was like, what the fuck is going on with the canvas? Because
somebody mentioned it in maybe after one of their fights, somebody said something about it being slippery.
It was super slippery. And that was the main issue. When he came back over, he's like, I can't throw anything in pairs or whatever, because anytime he tried to, he would slip. Anytime he tried to put real power on, he'd slip. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, in between, I was like, whenever you get him against the cage, that's when you just need to unload and let those body shots go.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what me and Rick were working on during the week, because I was, Fabiano doesn't hold pads. So I was the pad holder, and I was wearing this body shield, and I was just having him rip body shots, because the way the guy kind of fetals a little bit when you come at him. So mm-hmm. his hands come up. So I was like, we're going to work that body.
And he was ripping to the body.
Dude, I have bruises all over my body because he was throwing like on the body shield. I think there's a video his girl took, and he like, I'm holding it, and he rips one to the body, and I have the shield on, and I kind of go, I gotta like stop for a second. I'm like, all right, man, let's calm down. But I mean, outside of that, I mean, yeah, you got to think Rick has been out for 2 years.
No, exactly. He's been out 2 years. Well, that's a long layoff.
Yeah, I'm letting people in on some inside knowledge on this. So he's out for 2 years. I want to say he had double elbow surgery in April or May, right? So he just had both of his elbows, just had them both cut into.
And did he also have like bone spurs or something? Like, were they just like cleaning them out?
Yeah, dude, it's gnarly. Like, if you show his picture, like, there's a like chunks coming out that it's not that big, but it looks that big in the picture.
Yeah.
I'm holding up my hands, you guys can't see.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he had dope, and he's pushing through all that, and then you know, he had some other stuff I want to point out on here, just in case.
Yeah, that's fine.
Someone else, I'll tell you later. But you know, he had some things he had to do, and there were some things in camp, you know, because he's still healing, that we couldn't do either,
for sure.
And just to see him come out and to be able to do what he did and push as hard as he did and all that, man, mm-hmm. it's, I don't know, man. Hats off to the fucking guy.
Yeah, well, with the slippery canvas, that makes sense as to why he couldn't get the fight to the ground as easily.
You know, Rick is kind of a stiff guy too, if you think about it. He's always kind of come out kind of.
No, he's always been a little bit like that. But like, if you go back and watch the video, like, he's very vertical in round one.
Yeah,
And by round two, his shoulders come up a little bit. Like you can see him relax a little bit is what it looked like.
Oh, totally.
But that first round, he looked super stiff. I was actually concerned that first round because I was like, man, well, his hands were so low and he was up so high. Like, you know, if this guy has accurate punches, like, you know, you're going to take a shot or two. And in his last fight, he got knocked out brutally. You know, he got finished hard. Like that's, you know, everybody talks about, you know, people talk about they have like, hey, a fight pick you made that was like totally wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, people are like, oh, I definitely thought that Tito was going to beat Chuck. You know, like Rick Story and Donald Cerrone
is the
fight that I wrote a whole article about how if you have money, bet it on Rick Story. But I did say, and I kind of said, if he tries to make this a kickboxing match, he will lose. Yeah. And then he did. But and that's unfortunate. But so you come off of that into this fight and you come in stiff, and I didn't know he had double elbow surgery, so there's that too, you know, and that's not gonna help you take someone down.
Yeah.
So I, you know, but that first round he looked a little stiff, but he got
He can't straighten out his arms.
Can't fully straighten him out.
His arms are like this. Yeah. His arms don't straight out. But
yeah. So I thought he got better as the fight went on.
Yeah.
And he gave absolutely everything he could to try to knock that guy out. Clearly, he was going for a finish.
I thought he was going to finish him in the second with the body shots. That guy was hurting.
Yeah.
But the way that guy recovered, I ain't gonna say anything that might, you know, sound like schmeroids, but. Homeboy came back, you know, he recovered pretty good coming back in that third. And I will say this too, everyone in PFL, just about everyone, is fucking juiced to the goddamn gills. Like there was this one dude who's like, I'm surprised he made 170. I thought he was an 85er. he had these big ass traps. Like the day that we got, so we flew in Monday. And we showed up there, and he's already sucked up. You can tell he's cutting hard. And we're like, and I can remember joking. I was like, this guy realizes we have like two or three more days before weigh-ins, right? And he's just fucking just shredded. Anyway, so homeboy makes weight. I don't even know his name. And when he's flexing, you see these like weird bumps all over his abs. And like I was like, I wonder what those are. And, you know, Fabian's like, oh, those are, you know, fat components. I was like, oh, are those fat balls? He's like, yeah. And I was like, how do you get those? He's like, how do you think? Like, you know, because they're injection sites.
Yeah.
But that guy was mentally weak anyways. He broke. He tapped. He pretended he was out when he wasn't out. I don't know if you saw the fight I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He got caught in a choke and he just kind of
choke and he
just went limp real quick. The choke wasn't even fucking in.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, there's a few guys who are...
Well, you're going to run into that everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever. But big ups to Rick. Way to get one, get a win for the Northwest.
Oh, shit. That's what I was going to say. Sorry, real quick. Talking about the Cerrone fight, because I've talked to Rick about it a few times and why, you know, the fight went away. Well, I mean, he went down to the Black Zillions. He was trained down there, and he was like, you know, we weren't on the same page. He's like, I felt like the coaches, like they were trying to give him like a, they didn't have the same idea for a game plan. There was like none at all. And, you know, he just felt off and he got that kick to his mouth which is another thing too. He had to get fucking surgery on his jaw because of, something happened to his teeth. And yeah, but you know what? He kept on bringing it up. Cause we're like working out, and I think it was cause, you know, when you get nervous, you start thinking about like, oh, what's that worst that can happen to, and he kept saying, he's like, honestly, the worst thing, he's like, if I can survive that Cerrone fucking gif everyone's made, he's like, I have no problem.
Dude, every time I see it, I wince a little bit for him. Like, yeah. Man, that sucks. Yeah. You're going to be a highlight forever. Just like,
he was joking about it.
Just like Terry Etten is always going to be the gif of that spinning heel kick. Man. Oh my God.
What happened to that guy?
Barbosa?
No.
Oh, Terry Etten?
Yeah, not Barbosa.
Oh, I don't know. He's probably.
I mean, is he okay? Can he talk?
Yeah.
Is he okay?
He had fights after that. Okay. Yeah. He had fights after that. But, you know, not a lot of big-time British guys stick around. There's not a lot of Michael Bispings out there.
Yeah. Another cool thing I just want to say real quick is, you know, Rick, before this fight, you know, I felt like I was more in fight mode than him. Like, you know, I'm like getting fucking hyped up. I'm getting my mean mug on. He's over here fucking joking, talking. He's like, man, this is cool. He's like, this is the first time I don't have pressure, you know, going into a fight because I don't have to worry about a gym closing on me. Because a lot of people don't know, you know, Rick was getting fucked over by his management. This guy named Pat White, who, if anyone's ever heard his name, has probably never heard anything good about this guy. And he really fucked Rick over. So, you know, I'm really happy for him, and I really think he deserves to win this tournament. So,
well, I mean, if he has performances the way he performed in the second and third round, I think he'll do well. You know, and he'll certainly put somebody away with those shots. I still don't understand how that guy didn't go down.
He listens so fucking well too.
I could hear you giving him some advice from the corner, and I could see him doing it when you're telling him to go to the body, and he would go to the body. Like, you don't get a lot of that. Like, you hear a lot of people telling. You know, you hear a lot of corners yelling advice to fighters, and they clearly aren't listening.
Yeah, yeah.
It's refreshing when you have somebody who actually does what what's being thrown at them.
Well, one of the things we went over, like literally right before the fight, that he did it spot on was Fabiano was showing him a defense to this guy's guillotine, because this guy's known for sick guillotine. And was the first round or it was the first or second round, the guy jumps into a tight guillotine.
Yeah.
And the defense was to, you know, swim over. Not go to, because everyone tries to fight the hands. Instead of that, he went to kind of like where the shoulder is, and he pushed down on the forearm, and that's how he got his head out.
Yeah,
and that was something that Fabiano was going over with him, and he did it fucking spot on. And then his passes and all that, everything that Fabiano showed him right before that was perfect. And I really think if Rick stays, which I think he's going to, with Gracie Baja, I think this is a perfect fit for him. Like, he seems happy. He has good training partners there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see him winning this fucking tournament, man. I really do.
It's exciting, man. That would be huge.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody can use $1 million, right?
Right?
Wouldn't be bad.
It's a weird tournament format. We'll see.
Yep. Yep. For sure. Well, so that was probably the smallest fight card of the week.
Yeah.
That you had on Friday, you had, the Ultimate Fighter season, whatever finale.
Yeah, I think it's 27.
Sure, whatever it was. But really, there's only one fight to talk about from that card.
Yeah.
Is
Adesanya and Brad Tavares.
Yeah.
What's his first name? Is it Israel?
Israel.
Okay.
Israel Adesanya, yeah.
Yeah.
Can we just talk for a minute about how fucking good that guy is?
Like, yeah, he's legit.
He is so good.
Yeah, I honestly found out about him literally maybe 6 months before he got signed to the UFC.
Right.
And I was like sending videos and clips of this guy to Ricky. I was like, look at this guy's fucking ? Kick.
Yeah, man.
It's sick. Yeah. That dude's, his striking's on another level.
Yeah, man. His striking is really sound. His takedown defense is good. He was creative.
Yep.
He was accurate. You know, he's got like, he's got a little bit of Anderson Silva in him, in that he's super accurate, and he has a little bit of John Jones in him, that he's super creative.
Yep.
You know, he's got the same kind of build as those guys, long and lean, but still
pretty athletic,
pretty muscular, very athletic. Man, he landed one of the most beautiful elbows I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He grabs on Tavares's wrist, and he just comes like from a standing position and just comes over the top and hits him with the elbow, cut him open. It was a second cut that he had put on him. Like,
yeah.
If you wanna see what, you know, the future of striking looks like in the UFC, that guy is it. Like,
I'm so glad he's not ever gonna make my weight class. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
he's a big, we were talking about this before the podcast. I don't see how he stays at 85.
How
he's
tall
big,
is he,
man?
Is he 6'4"?
Jesus Christ, I hope he's not 6'4".
He's 6-something for sure. I mean, I don't know. I don't think he has a hard weight cut, because, like, you know, I follow him on Instagram, and he's always eating, like, cheeseburgers and shit.
Yeah, man, he's 6'4".
6'4", fuck.
6'4", his reach is 80 inches.
Yeah.
Long, you know, he's got a lot of reach.
He's fast.
He doesn't have, much in the way of jiu-jitsu, it seems. He's a blue belt. You know, but if you have takedown defense like that.
All
like,
you gotta
you have to worry about it too much.
All you need is good takedown defense and be able to stand up.
Yeah, and he had no problem with that.
Yeah,
the only,
but I mean, he even at one point he did take down Brad, didn't he?
Yeah, but Brad took him down early on, and he just got right back up.
Yep.
Like watching that in the first round, I thought to myself, you know, they need to put him against a high level wrestler to see, like they really need to test him against someone who's a high level wrestler. I hope they don't just put him in matchups against guys that
he's going to be able to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't want to see him against guys he can just beat easily. Give him a good wrestler, not like a great wrestler, but a good wrestler. You know, that's taking people down, so you can kind of see what he's made of. You know, like you don't want to put him in there against like. I don't know, like Chris Weidman right out of the gate, right?
No.
But you know, put him in there against someone good and see what happens.
Tavares was ranked, what, eighth?
Yeah, 8 or 9.
Eighth going into that? Okay. Who else is there? Like, who else is around there that's a...
Well, I mean, we've talked about it. It's kind of a weird division, right? Like, the top of the division is kind of congested.
Him and Yoel next.
Yeah. Him and Yoel next. See what happens there. I don't even want to... I guess when you put it in... When you put it in perspective and you think about how big Yoel Romero is versus how big he is, he's not that big. But he's lanky
and tall, so he has that going for him. But as far as like, you know, width, he's not a thick dude.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's not that young. He's 28, so maybe he's not going to get too much bigger. I don't know, man. He just looks big. I mean, against Brad Tavares, he looked big. And Brad Tavares
used to make 170 though.
Yeah, but he's thick. You know, I mean, like, and he's clearly bigger than Brad Tavares. Maybe he just is a natural 185er. Because you're right. Since Tavares did make 170, it makes a difference. But he lit Tavares up, and I'm surprised that I went the whole distance.
Tavares is a tough motherfucker.
Yeah, the only thing Tavares didn't do that he normally does really well is he normally throws a ton of kicks. Like, he throws really heavy leg kicks, and he didn't throw, like, any kicks. It was really weird.
I think he thought he could just outbox him a little bit, box him and wrestle him.
His jab looked good.
Well, if you look at the beginning, like, the first round, I was like, okay, if Tavares can keep this up, he can win this fight. Because he was looking crisp and stuff. But as the fight went on, he got a little bit more sloppier. He got a little bit away from his technique because everything was real tight. He was coming forward, pop, 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 catching him. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of stopped. Like, I don't know if it's a cardio thing because it's hard to say because he stopped stopped using his movement as much. He kind of was setting back a little bit, watching. He started watching Adesanya.
Well, I think for Adesanya, he was adjusting and Tavares wasn't. Mm. And when you don't know what to do, like when you don't know what adjustment to make and the thing you were doing isn't working, maybe you freeze up a little bit.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the other thing is Adesanya was, he wasn't allowing Tavares to back him up like he did in the first round. And that changed everything. So, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I mean, I think a lot of it is watching the other fighter. Because if you watch like, there's a lot of guys who do that. If a guy is doing a lot of like movement or stuff, people will stop. They will freeze. Instead of moving around with them, they will freeze and watch them. Mm-hmm. And then when you start watching someone, that's when you start getting caught.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, again, I will say this. Tavares is tough as fuck, but there's levels to this shit. We'll say that every episode. There's levels to this shit.
Yeah. Well, and that was a really beautiful performance. I mean, you know, we have to see where he goes from here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That could be his best performance, and maybe he never lives up to the hype after that. You never know. But
Gaslam is getting the next shot, right?
I think so.
It's Gaslam Whitaker.
I think so. But I mean, it could change. I mean, nothing Gaslam is signed. Whitaker.
Then we got Weidman still up there. Yoel.
Jacare.
Who else is there? Luke Rockhold's hurt. So, like, really, there's, like, not very many other people in front of him that...
Yeah. I mean there's a handful of guys that he could fight, but really, that division is weird, man. It's a weird division because the top has people who have already fought each other, and then they're talking about, you know, and they were talking about, oh, should Yoel and Whitaker fight again? And it's just,
they might make Yoel move up, right?
Maybe. I mean, I would, but the UFC seems to not really give a shit about that when it comes to him.
Or to any fighter, as long as it's all about money.
Yeah. I guess so. It's bothersome. Can get
into as well as there's a heavyweight title matchup coming up that doesn't make sense.
No, but you want to talk about money, goddamn.
Yeah.
You know who he could fight? So there's a couple people that are up there that he hasn't fought. One of the guys who fought on Saturday was that Paulo Costa, the guy who fought.
That's a scary motherfucker.
Yeah, but I would like to see him fight. I mean, the way he handled Uriah Hall, and yeah. Uriah Hall's a creative striker, that would be a really good matchup.
There you go.
You know what
there
I mean?
That's a throw, fucking
throw him
one.
At yep. Adesanya, see what happens there. Two hot up-and-coming guys.
What's he ranked?
He's ranked. He was ranked 10, and Uriah Hall was ranked 9. So
boom,
let's say he moves
go.
Up to that guy. Paulo Costa might move all the way up to 8 because of Brad Tavares losing. You know, so he moves up
and
to
Adesanya
8.
nine and eight.
Well, Adesanya's not ranked yet,
but
so
I mean, he's obviously going to be now.
I would imagine so. I imagine he'll crack. They'll probably put him at 15 just to put him in the list.
So?
Well, because you can't drop guys like Antonio Carlos Jr., Thiago Silva. Theodoro, Christoph Jotko. I mean, you can't say like those guys aren't on like losing streaks, you know?
Yeah, but I mean,
so even if you do move him up to like, I bet you he doesn't go any
top
higher 12.
Yeah, top 12.
See, we're in the same headspace.
Look at that.
But that would be good. Other guys that are up there are Dave Branch, Derek Brunson, who I think is a little overrated.
See, I think he beats all those guys.
I definitely think he beats Derek Brunson. I definitely think he beats
Dave Branch would be a good one.
It would be an okay one. I
think
Branch is hit or miss, you know?
Like, well, Branch has good grappling.
He does.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah, but if he can't get him down, he can't get him down. So we'll see what happens.
And he's a decent-sized 85er.
The real test, wrestler-wise, would be Kelvin. Like, you know.
You think Kelvin, really, over Weidman?
Well, I mean, if you're thinking of, like, I think Kelvin's probably a better wrestler than Weidman.
Okay, you need to stop with that.
His takedowns are more consistent, man. Weidman is good. He's very well rounded. It just, have you watched the way
he
hunts for takedowns sometimes, man?
But do you not remember their fight, Weidman and Gil?
Yeah,
and then Weidman
but
dominated him on the ground.
Yeah, Weidman dominated him on the ground. I just mean like fight to fight. It seems like Kelvin relies on his wrestling more than Weidman does.
He mixes up his striking.
So I think about
wrestling.
I think about him more as a pure wrestler than Weidman. I'm obviously not thinking about their specific fight. I just mean in general, like Kelvin gets a lot of people down, man. Like,
man, that's a tough one to say.
But either way, those are your two best wrestlers, right? Those are your two best wrestlers outside of Yoel Romero in that division.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, I guess Dave Branch, but I think that Paulo Costa fight would be. That would be lights out.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see that shit, but
I just got a bit. Still, that's a bold thing to say, man.
Well, you know,
Kelvin's only a state. I don't think Kelvin even won state in high school.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
a national.
George St. Pierre didn't wrestle in college. Like George St. Pierre, one of the best wrestlers we've ever seen in the
He's
UFC.
The best tackler we've seen.
Dude, say what you will. George St. Pierre's wrestling was outstanding. And when you consider the fact that he didn't grow up wrestling, it's even crazier.
I guess you're right.
I mean,
don't forget, though, Chris Weidman was taking down Yoel, too.
No. I'm not trying to say Chris Weidman's not a good wrestler.
I know you're not.
When you tell me to think of wrestlers, I don't think Chris Weidman.
Really?
I think Kelvin.
That's
because
just so
Chris
crazy
Weidman,
to me.
I just think of Chris Weidman as a more complete fighter, you know? Like he's a mixed martial artist the way I look at it, man. Like his stand up is better than people give him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
His work in the clinch is really good. He's super strong. Yeah, he gets people down, but he
you're saying he doesn't rely on his wrestling as much as
exactly.
As, okay,
and I think of Kelvin
okay,
and
okay.
Kelvin like and Kelvin can throw hands, don't get me wrong. Like and he will. But I just like when I think about guys who are just going to go in there and are going to be able to drag you to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Kelvin. I think of, you know, Dan Henderson. I think of DC. I think of guys that can just drag you to the ground. And there are guys who are national champions that, you know, that are in there that are going to have more accolades than some guys who are just incredible wrestlers. They just have a gift for getting you on the ground. You know, like, I mean, obviously we're not talking about Dan Henderson. I mean, he's incredible, but like, you know,
see, I thought it was interesting you said Dan and DC because I wouldn't think, I think they don't use the wrestling enough.
No, they don't. But when I think of that, like when I think of the ability to just like to get someone, I mean, obviously Dan Henderson, old Dan Henderson was all about that one
that
shot.
Hendo,
like, you know, he H-bomb. Just had that incredible Greco-Roman wrestling, you know, that was like, you didn't see it a lot, you know. So it was unique. He could get people from a full on standing position to the ground, and DC is the same way in that, you know, he can have you. DC's not going to just shoot a double leg on you. You know what I mean?
Has he ever shot a double leg?
Great question.
I don't think he ever has, because all of his takedowns are, he does like a high crotch, the lift, and then everything else is from the clinch.
Exactly. And so it's unique. And that's why I think of them as the ability to get somebody down, you know, and then there are guys who are like, they just have to shoot for the leg, you know? For the beginning of their career, they can do that. But as the competition gets stiffer and stiffer, you have to set it up better, you know?
Yeah.
Or you have to be super athlete.
And as your knees get worse and worse.
Yeah. But let's not make this an argument about wrestling. I'm just trying to say that.
No, God damn it.
That I would like to see Adesanya fight a good wrestler eventually. But
well, I think the guy you said, I think I agree with that one.
Yeah.
Paulo, whatever that fucking monster.
Paulo Costa. Yeah.
Dude, that guy. It's funny because Uriah was, before the fight, was accusing him of, you know, steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, hey, man, I can see why. You know, I don't blame him, but I mean, USADA is a fucking.
Yeah, whatever.
And then, you know what? Interesting enough, I was having a conversation with Fabiano about USADA, and he thinks that. He goes, honestly, I think that they test, if you look at who they test a lot, it's people that have never failed a test, right?
Mm.
And he thinks that it's more of a, look, we're doing this thing, and then there's these other, you know what I mean? Like, there's a little bit of a money grab. I don't know if that's the word, but
I don't know if it's.
Would you say there's an influence at all by the UFC to be like, hey, we want you guys to test, you know, these guys a little bit more than these guys, or do you think they have a say at all?
Probably a little bit, you know. Yeah. I mean, there has to be. I mean, obviously, we look at Brock Lesnar and the exception they gave him for his last fight, and now that he's coming back, they're already saying that he has to clear 6 months of testing before they'll even consider him, blah, 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 this stuff. You know, so we'll see what happens, but I think...
So it's fair to say there could be a conspiracy there, right?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe a little bit of a conspiracy.
Like a little fuckery?
Yeah, right? A little bit. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, there's a system in place. They've certainly caught people cheating. They've caught supplement companies fucking people over, you know, which I think is going to lead to some supplement companies disappearing and, you know, or getting way more popular, right?
Like, yeah, there's
like
that.
One or the other, you know, so
it's like, oh yeah, this is the good shit.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Got good stuff in there.
So we'll see. But yeah, that Israel Adesanya, man, he's hot shit. I'm excited to see where he goes.
Yeah. I'd love to see that Paulo guy. I don't know. I'm terrible with fucking names.
We both are.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I'm gonna call him PC.
Whatever. I forgot that Chris Weidman and Kelvin Gastelum fought about 2 minutes ago. So yeah, whatever. Yeah. It just didn't even cross my mind, you know?
But yeah, that'd be a good one to see. Fuck. Now, do we just jump into the big card?
I think we have to.
All right. So there's several good fights on there. And there was also a shit fight.
There was a really shit fight.
But
before we get to any of the fights that we care about, so Anthony Pettis and Michael Chiesa fought on this card.
Oh, okay. You want to talk about
Chiesa? No, this is what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Michael Chiesa. So the disclosed payouts were announced
for these fights. Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. Kids, let me tell you something.
It's like 30 and 30.
Don't sign an Ultimate Fighter contract. Holy fucking shit. Okay. Yeah. Granted, Chiesa lost like 20% of his purse or something because he missed weight. Oh, was it 30% of his purse?
30, yeah.
Okay, so 30% of his purse is pretty hefty, but after he loses that 30%, this dude only made $25,000 for his fight. To put that in perspective, there were fighters on this card who had one fight in the UFC, Gokhan Saki. I love him, don't get me wrong, but homeboy made $100,000.
Did he? I thought he only made $85,000.
Fuck, $85,000, $100,000. Oh. I'm pretty sure it was $100,000. But even if it's $85,000,
still,
you have one fight in the UFC.
Yeah,
you're not a mixed martial artist. Like, I don't care how many fans you think that guy's going to draw. You're going to give Michael Chiesa, a guy who, like, you know, people talk shit about him. Love him or hate him. You don't like his fighting style. You don't think he's that good. I don't care. He's a grinder. He wins fights. And he was a top 10 lightweight when he's fighting Anthony Pettis this week. And this guy's making... So what was he supposed to make? I mean, I'm not good at math, so $40,000?
Like, I think he was supposed to make... If I remember correctly, I think he was making 35 and 35 or something like that, or 30 and 30.
That's not shit, man. No.
That's fucking whack. Because his record is, before this fight, I think he was 14 and 3 going into it.
Yeah.
So he's 14 and 4 now. Gokhan Saki, 1 and 1.
Yeah, dude.
Right? MMA. Granted, yes, he had all the success kickboxing.
Yeah, he's got 100 kickboxing fights, but that doesn't mean anything.
Kickboxing and MMA, not the same. Yeah. And then, Roundtree, right? Roundtree, you know what he made for knocking out?
Yeah.
Fucking 19 and 19.
Yeah. That's not a lot.
Fucking crazy. I don't know how many fights he's had in the UFC.
And that's exactly it. That Ultimate Fighter contract will hamper your career to make UFC money, man. Like,
fucking crooks.
Don't go on the Ultimate Fighter. Oh my God. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
I mean, I wonder what the Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series fucking contract is like.
I don't know. We should ask your number one fan.
No, he's on a different contract because he didn't get signed.
Oh,
because
he didn't get signed. Good for him.
I think he made 15 and 15.
Well, you know what? We'll find out after he beats up Benito, whatever his name is.
He's probably making 20 and 20 now, I think.
Well, but whatever Benito is making is going to be what that...
Oh, shit. You're right.
He's on that deal.
Way to connect the dots. Fucking Inspector Gadget.
That's right.
Hey.
Go Gadget Brain. You know, so...
Yeah,
but
yeah,
still, man,
fuck
that Ultimate Fighter deal. That is awful.
Yeah,
man. Sure, when I was looking at the numbers that were being paid out on this card, I mean, goddamn, Stipe Miocic got $750,000 flat. That's a lot of money, man.
It's a lot
without bonuses. That's a lot of money. I mean,
DC only made $500.
Yeah, only $500. But what else?
Bro.
Who knows what else he got?
But listen, I know. Like, people are like, oh, that's so much. It's not.
No, it's not.
It's fucking not.
No,
that should have been for both of them at least a million dollar fight.
They could afford to give each of them $1 million for sure.
Of course they get pay-per-view fucking points.
They're going to get points and whatever. And that was a big pay-per-view. So on the back end, who knows?
Yeah.
And DC's an analyst. He gets paid, you know, whatever.
Of course, Reebok.
And maybe he gets some sort of bonus for being a champion in another division. And there's probably a bonus that he gets for winning another title. Like, who knows? Who knows? They don't disclose everything.
But whatever. Still, regardless, $500,000 just for the fight itself. No.
But he made more in that fight than Michael Chiesa's probably made on his fights in his whole career.
Oh, for sure.
Like, and
for
that's
sure.
You know.
But I mean, I'm just saying, like, in general, like, for a card like this compared to if this was the same structure as a boxing card, right? For those names, if this were boxing and those were those names, Everyone on that card would make $1 million.
Oh yeah, no,
main
totally.
Card.
No, totally.
Which is where, you know, I think we're getting fucked as fighters.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, the whole win loss shit. That's stupid.
Absolutely.
Let's look at it this way. Chiesa, right? He missed weight. Fine, 30%. That's fine. Whatever. But now he's banking on, okay, if I win, I get, you know, let's just round it up to 60,000. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he lost, you only make it 25. That's a fucking huge. That's a huge difference,
yeah,
man.
Dude. And you're not counting what he spent on camp so far.
You got coaches. You got your gym, dude.
He probably. I mean, the UFC
taxes?
Pays. UFC pays for what, two guys to come with you?
I think it's one.
Okay. Well. Even let's just say it's two. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say he took three guys.
Yeah,
like so he paid for at least one guy's airfare and hotel.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've met Michael Chiesa a couple times. Super nice
cool.
guy. I don't have a bad thing to say about him.
Big ass head.
He does have a big head.
Head is huge. Do you know who else got a big head? Sorry, I gotta say this. Muhammad Bilalo, whatever his fucking name, Bilal or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, Bilal Muhammad.
I was staring at his fucking mug the whole time at the PFL thing. It took everything in me not to tweet about how big his fucking head is.
You should have done it.
I know, I should have, but I was like, I don't want to make a confrontation before Rick's fight and make a thing because I honestly think I could knock him out. I'm not going to lie, because he was on the same card as me as Titan. I'm not impressed with the guy. But anyways, he's got a fucking huge head.
Big target.
Anyways, back to you.
I was just saying, Michael Chiesa is a hell of a guy, very nice guy. He was very friendly every time I've met him. I know that the young fighters that train with him mm-hmm. speak very highly of him. They say he is always willing to take them under his wing, you know, yeah. salt of the earth kind of guy. So, you know, I want guys like that to get paid. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Like, and I feel too. For him. So when I saw that, I was a little bummed out. And Anthony Pettis made a considerable amount more than him. And I get it. Anthony Pettis is a former champion. But Anthony Pettis has also lost like six of his last 10.
Been
like,
on a skid.
But now he's got two wins in a row. And, you know.
Who's his win before this?
Before this, you know what? I'm wrong. He didn't win the one before this. Before this, he lost to Dustin Poirier. He got TKO because the rib shot. But then prior to that, he beat Jim Miller. And then before that, he lost to Max Holloway.
So he's been on like.
But he did beat Charles Oliveira. He got him with the guillotine. But before that, he had lost three in a row. Man, he lost to.
So yeah, RDA. he's on a skid.
Yeah, he's not doing so hot. But he looks. I gotta say, man, he looks better than he has. Maybe that's because he was fighting a Michael Chiesa. I don't know, but like.
I thought like, I didn't.
He got
think
put
he looked
down,
good.
But his, but well, I'm just saying, like his jiu-jitsu looked a little better.
Yeah.
Like he caught a pretty sweet triangle. It was pretty tight.
Yeah.
He had a good guillotine attempt. Everybody knows his guillotine is legit. Go ask Gilbert Melendez. Like, mm-hmm. you know,
no, I mean, I think Pettis has always had good jits.
And clearly, his striking is good. Like, you know, he's got good striking.
But I still feel like he was losing that fight up until that point.
He was losing the fight up until that point.
So I think he just caught him in a.
You know what? You know what?
You heard him. He caught him with the body.
The turning point of the fight was the very end of the first round where he hits him and drops him like at the last second.
That he didn't drop him. He tripped.
Did he trip?
Well, he tripped. But what he catches him with in the second, he did catch him with the right hand. He did see. He noticed that he was able to catch him with something.
Even if he tripped, the shot at the end of the round clearly. Clearly pissed Chiesa off.
That got him, yeah.
And I think that changed things. And I will say, Chiesa's wrestling game was sloppier than I had seen it in the past.
Yeah. I wonder what Chiesa's, what his pedigree is for wrestling.
I don't know, but he tends to get people down. And, right? And he has a real good knack for getting in positions to finish with submissions. Mm-hmm. Like if in that first round, if the cage wasn't on that side of him, he would have choked Pettis out with the arm triangle. Yep. It was there and the cage was in the way. You know, if he gets your back, like there's a real good chance you're going to sleep. Like he's slick, but you know, but big ups to Pettis for at least, you know, at least showing some tenacity, getting the win.
Not sold on him, man.
Is he back?
I don't think so.
Pettis back.
No, I don't think so.
No? All right. You hear that? Tommy Pettis is not back.
Yeah. Who's Tommy?
Tommy's my friend who loves Anthony Pettis.
Well, you need to get off that fucking dick wagon real quick because your boy is not back. Let me tell you, your little fucking Wheaties box you got, get rid of it. It's not going to be worth anything. I promise you that. Everyone's like, oh, remember Anthony Pettis? Oh, yeah. Remember when USADA came? Ooh. your boy's not back.
But Pretty Tony Pettis is a pretty good nickname.
Pretty Tony Pettis?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
That's why I was trying to get for Ricky was Pretty Ricky. But Pretty Tony, that's a nickname that he got that, you know, he doesn't like. But
is he a pretty guy?
You know, he's always wearing suits and flashy bullshit and getting his hair all lined up.
You're talking about Anthony Pettis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty Tony Pettis.
Because Tony and Anthony, referring to your buddy.
No.
Saying what's up, man.
He doesn't do up like Anthony Pettis, you know?
Yeah. No, I got you. That's the reason why I never liked Anthony Pettis, because he fucking would do this like really thin eyebrow thing, and I can't respect you if you do that. I just can't. If you
get your eyebrows done, there's no respect.
No. There's a thing like, listen, my girl, she cleans up my eyebrows every now and then, right? Like, but it's just like scraggly. I don't fucking get mine like shaped and formed and this pencil. Like, if you look back to where Anthony Pettis was still in the WEC,
yeah, man,
he does this like real super thin like eyebrow.
Well, if you're gonna talk about ridiculous eyebrows, you gotta talk about Eddie Alvarez. Nobody had a more ridiculous eyebrow game than him, man.
Does he?
Oh my God. This dude's shaped eyebrows were out of control. Like they might as well have been penciled on. It was ridiculous. Go back and look at some old clips of him. This fucking guy with his ridiculous eyebrows. Oh my God.
Because this might make me not like him anymore.
Go look. Eddie Alvarez was the king of the ridiculous eyebrow, bro.
Yeah, it was out of control.
It was out of control. I think that's why he started growing a beard, because people were making fun of his goddamn eyebrows. They were so ridiculous.
Oh yeah, okay. I'll have to look because that'll change who I want to win against.
You know, and at least Anthony Pettis, like, his was like, he would get his eyebrows done, but he would still look like cool Latin guy. But Eddie Alvarez would get his done, and he'd look like Jersey Shore guy. It was terrible.
He's a Jersey Shore dude. Yeah, see, but Pettis would also do his sideburns, like really, like the little pencil thing, and then he'd do the lining, and he just, you know what? There's just too much.
He would do the lines, but you know who else does the lines in their hair? Is the half black attack?
No. Lines in the hair. That's different. Steps are cool. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where you're getting it all like fucking lasered, fucking sculpted and trimmed out to like you got this box. There's too much manscaping in MMA. There's just too much, and I don't like it. And I was talking to Rick and his girl too about this, about shaving my chest. I was like, I thought about shaving my chest, then I realized I fucking can't do that because why do I care so much about my image? You know?
Do you want your chest to itch? Sounds terrible to me.
Right? I don't know, man. Like I just don't. I'm not into that. There's too much of that shit. Trying to be pretty, but you're a fighter and being rugged at the same time.
Yeah. Well,
that shows me you got a little hoe in you, Ricky Simone. But
I thought you were going to say Anthony Pettis.
Yeah, well, obviously. But, you know.
Well, Anthony Pettis, you know, big ups, got a good win. Mike Chiesa didn't make enough money.
Yeah,
throw that man some money. Come on, Dana White.
So now let's go into another fight I was going to say real quick I guess we kind of went over the Roundtree knocking out.
Yeah. Soggy. So Roundtree knocks out Gokhan Saki.
Which I did not see that happen. I thought
nobody saw that happening.
I was like, this guy is really trying to stand with him right now.
I blew my mind. Boom. I thought he would just take him down immediately.
Yep, that's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, maybe Gokhan Saki was getting a little, maybe just got a little cocky. He's like, fuck.
Probably, because he probably doesn't train with anybody that's trying to take his head off either.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I bet you the vast majority of his training camp for MMA fights is not striking. It's
wrestling.
It's got to be wrestling, right? Mm-hmm. It has to be. But if you're Gokhan Saki, like the other thing is you can in a kickboxing match with big gloves, like you can take a straight punch periodically. It's not gonna be the end of the world. But goddamn, was it a straight right he hit him with?
I want to say it was a straight left. He was southpaw.
I mean, straight down the middle. Like it's like he was just staring at it, just wide eyed and just bah. Yeah. And you know when he went down, he wasn't out immediately. No. But he defended so poorly that he just ends up with hammer fist.
Yeah.
Bro, go to your back and let him get in your guard. Why would you turn to your side like that? Like
he could have grabbed his leg too. He didn't reach for a leg. Now that he just covered up.
Well, and initially he backed up, and like if he had kept sliding back, he probably would have let him back onto his feet.
Yeah.
Man, that was so ridiculous. That was so crazy.
I think he deserves like the, I don't know what, the upset of the night, I guess. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah.
Fuck, it was nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then what else? There were so many good fucking fights, man. Perry Felder.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a good one.
So Platinum Mike Perry and Paul Felder, they get a good little scrap.
If they didn't get fight of the night, then I'm going to be fucking... That's some crooked shit.
Yeah, they probably should get fight of the night. That was pretty serious. But man, big ups to Paul Felder having... He had two fights pulled from him before he got this fight, and then he has to go up and wait for this one, right?
Yeah.
So he's got to go up and wait to fight a power puncher, you know, and get in a slugfest with a guy because you know Paul Felder is not trying to worry about getting this fight to the ground,
right? Yeah.
Which
is interesting because I mean his top ground game is pretty solid.
Yeah, he's pretty heavy on top.
Yeah, he's good there. So I'm surprised he didn't try to wrestle at all. But you know what really upset me during the broadcast was when they were talking about this fight, they're making it seem as if Paul Felder was making this move up to 170. Like, this is what... No. That was not the case for this. This is not him going, I want to try 170.
I see what you're saying.
No, it was a, you know, let's call it what it was. It was, we both lost a fight. Fuck it. We, you know, I'll come up. I don't have to cut that much weight. So let's do it.
Just had my fight taken away from me.
Let's just do it. I need a payday. You need a payday. Let's fight. Yeah. That's all it was. It was not a fucking, I'm making this jump up to 170 and da da da. I'm not doing a Cerrone.
Well, I wonder if he will move up to 170 though. No, you know, he has the Jake Smith syndrome. He's got big ass legs. Like,
I don't think he's that big of a 55er, honestly.
I don't think he's huge, but I mean, he's got big legs. I mean, but you don't look Does like he? A huge, yeah. He's got tree trunks for legs, really? Man. Yeah. Go back and look. He's got big, thick legs. Yeah. But like, you don't look like you'd be a huge 55er, but you're, you know, 55 is about as low as you're going to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The look can be deceptive. I mean, you said it yourself. You want to find a way to measure people, you know, by their height, width and shit. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. So,
but I mean, you know, I don't think, but just the way that like Anik and they were saying like, maybe, you know, this is the right, you know, I don't know. It just seemed like they were avoiding what was really the situation.
Yeah. Well, they did say this is the, this matchup just made sense. I mean, they said that a couple times and they're right. This matchup did just make sense.
Yeah. It was a good fight.
It was a good fight, man. I think it was a lot closer fight than people think it was.
I honestly had Felder winning this like by points just based off
the first and the third,
just based off of just, you know, strikes landed kind of thing. Just like, you know, I'm outpointing you.
I think if you look at the numbers, I think he landed more significant strikes.
But it's everything he was fucking Perry was landing was just devastating hard. You can hear it. Wow.
Yeah, man.
Those elbows.
I wonder how much the headbutt right at the beginning of the fight changed the complexion because Felder was bleeding so heavily. And then he did, man.
That shovel hook.
Well, dude, the whole right side of his face was not looking good, man. He had a big hematoma. Mm-hmm. He had the punch that from the busted open hook. Man. Like,
homeboy loaded up so well. It was like, that's the weird thing about a shovel hook is it looks kind of like an uppercut, but it's coming at like a little bit more of like a 45-degree angle, so it's still kind of a hook. And it just kind of glances up. And that's where he got the cut. And
yeah, man. Well, you could see the glove just like bite on the skin and just.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no.
It's crazy. It sliced him and then it traveled up to his forehead, which caused a fucking hematoma. Well, so, like, it was just all. If you look,
he had a small hematoma before that, that popped up. And then it just got worse.
Yeah.
It just got worse and worse. But was it Felder was landing up. There were a lot of guys landing clean jabs on that card.
Felder's jab is nice.
Uriah Hall had a pretty good jab in a losing effort in his fight. Like, people were throwing jabs.
People are starting to throw a little bit more jabs. Yeah. I mean, I don't think as much as I should.
Brad Tavares threw a pretty clean jab before he started getting picked apart. Yeah. Like, you know, people were throwing nice jabs this weekend. So I was appreciating that. I wasn't paying attention to it. I think it was Paul Felder who like tripled up on the jab after he had broken his arm.
Yep.
Paul Felder did a Paige VanZant spinning back forearm to the forehead and broke his arm.
Crazy thing. Kept throwing it.
Oh, he sure as shit did. He threw it like a motherfucker.
And yeah, in
dude,
between
he not
rounds,
only did he throw punches with it, he threw another spinning back fist and hit on the forearm again.
It. Yeah,
that was crazy. That was nuts.
In between the rounds too, he'd just point to his arms like, put ice on it. And then his corner's like, I hear you. I know. I hear you.
Well, and dude, like I love or hate the athletes that come out of his gym. Duke Rufus is like one of the best people you can have in your corner. Nobody gives you more sound advice. He's super calm. I love listening to Duke Rufus in anybody's corner. I can't get enough of Duke Rufus.
Yeah.
I want Duke Rufus to be my best friend. If I have a kid, I want Duke Rufus to be my kid's godfather.
That's weird.
I love Duke Rufus.
I mean,
I can't get enough of him.
Well, I'm glad. I mean,
I want to go eat sandwiches with Duke Rufus.
In
Chicago.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't care too much for Duke Rufus.
Well, I hate your fucking guts, Jake.
Sorry, man. I mean, you know, look at the sound job he did for CM Punk. Not very good.
What was anybody going to do for CM Punk?
Well, you know. You know, he was the coach. And he kept saying, like, I don't want you throwing any more spinning stuff, or even though they were landing.
They were landing, but I think he was trying to get him to just go technique for technique. He didn't want him to get in a slugfest with him, because clearly in the slugfest, Mike Perry is some sort of weird machine. And you talk about guys with chins. God damn, he got hit with some hard shots.
Perry?
Yeah, man. Like, that guy can take a punch. You look at his fight with Ponzinibbio. God damn, he got hit so hard in that fight. I mean, I know he lost, dude.
Like, you can just tell he's just one of those guys who's in, when he gets in the fight, it's just, I'm here to kill.
Yeah.
That's it. He seems
very unlikable to me. I don't like him.
Yeah, some of his videos are funny, though. He's a funny guy, yeah. Like, he found out he was, like, 2% black, so he starts saying, like, nigga this, nigga that. For those listening, I'm half black, so it's cool. But, yeah, so, like, he's like, yo, he called out, like, Tyron Woodley. He's like, yo, my nigga, like, he's like, I just found out I'm 2% black. And, yeah, I don't know, he's funny.
He did, like, the spit in the tube thing?
Yeah, he has, like, 2%, like, whatever. Yeesh. But, like, he didn't get in trouble for it. UFC didn't say shit.
I guess.
Like, he gets a pass, I guess.
I just don't understand him. I do like that he moved to a real fight camp.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, granted, he's like you always say, like, don't go to, like, everybody thinks they're just going to get better. They go to Jackson Winks. Mm-hmm. Like, he could have went to any number of fight camps, but that's where he went, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's a little weird, too. And then you end up fighting Paul Felder, who trains, pretty regularly with Donald Cerrone.
I think he doesn't, I don't think he does that all anymore.
He doesn't do that anymore at all?
I think he's strictly Duke Rufus. Because
But when he's out of camp, doesn't he go down to the BMF ranch and train with those
guys? I think he
used
to. I don't think he does anymore, is what I'm saying.
That's interesting.
Paul Felder's nutritionist is also my nutritionist. Well,
oh, really?
Yeah, he was. He doesn't work with Paul. He didn't work with Paul this fight, but the past two or three fights before this, he was working with Paul.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, Scott Plested. Look him up. He's great. But yeah, so he was working with Paul. And from what I hear, Paul's a little bit of a diva, which I don't know if that's surprised to anyone. So yeah, so he's bounced around a couple camps.
He's also weird.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, he's weird. Like he's a weird guy is what I hear. I hear, really? he has a weird sense of humor. I hear that when he was at the BMF ranch, one of the things he liked to do was walk around naked and intimidate people. And like that's a little weird. Like it's cool. Like you're, you know, whatever. If that's your brand of humor, like, I get it, but like, that's just a little weird to me. And I hear that, like, he just has kind of a weird sense of humor. But I will say, I like him as a broadcaster, and I like his fights. He never has a fight that I'm bored about. So
he was a drama nerd in school and all that stuff, and so I can see where the little diva-ness comes in.
Yeah,
and you know the way. He seems a little pompous to me.
Yeah.
But, I love the way he fights, and, I don't know. That was a great one, and hopefully his fucking arm's not too jacked up.
When you break your arm in that spot, and if you break your arm clean right there.
Dude, right in the forearm, yeah.
But it can heal pretty clean. It's a clean break.
Yeah.
Like, it can heal without surgery, you know. However, if it's like a compound, like, that's not good, and then you probably have to get
Compound means it's sticking out of the skin, right?
It doesn't have to stick out of the skin, right?
I don't know. I was just asking. I don't know.
Nevertheless, man, like, he may not need surgery. I mean, Paige had surgery, right? Didn't she get surgery on her arm?
Dude,
I don't know.
All
right. Well, never
really talk to her.
Doesn't really matter. Like, somebody. Sometimes you have to get surgery. Sometimes you don't. Yeah. Whatever. Like he could. He could, in theory, heal without surgery. You know.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. Yeah. Although it seems like people go the surgery route because they anticipate a faster turnaround time.
Well, another thing too, people love to have metal in their body when you're a fighter.
I don't get it. I don't want metal in my body at all.
Makes it harder.
I don't care. I don't want metal in my body holding my body together.
If you can hit someone with a metal fist, are you kidding me?
Well, yeah, but you're not going to get metal fists. You're going to get...
Who the fuck was it? Someone got some metal shit.
On the top of their hand, though. It's not on their knuckles. It's not like they got their knuckles dipped in metal.
You don't know that, okay? You don't know what he requested. Like,
it's not...
I want that Wolverine shit.
Give me the Hugh Jackman.
Okay, I don't know how we're doing on time, but
well, I'm just gonna say right out of the gate, if you want to pause and go take a leak or get something to eat, go for it, because this one's gonna run a little long.
Is it pretty fun?
Yeah, okay. It's gonna run long. Okay. I mean, we're already over an hour. We haven't even got to something we could probably talk an hour about. Yeah. I'm not saying we're gonna go 2 hours, but I'm guaranteeing at least an hour 30.
Yeah. So okay, well, I want to get to fucking the Francis Ngannou and Derek Lewis.
Yeah, we got to talk about it.
Because I know everyone else, a lot of people hated that fight. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't hate it. I was actually, you know what? I was, because I knew coming into this, it wasn't going to be what everyone thought it was.
Before the fight started, I looked at my wife and I said, watch, it's going to end up going all three rounds and not be very exciting.
Exactly.
And then that, you know, she's like, oh, great, you jinxed it. Like, well, I jinxed it. No.
Do you know who jinxed it? Fucking John Anik at the beginning. He's like, we do have three judges, even though we won't be needing them. He said something around those lines. And well, I was like, well, and people, fuck.
But I mean, there was like
all the hype,
a lot of money
it.
Came in on that fight going mm-hmm. only one round, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Vegas is thrilled today.
Here's a secret I want people to know. Every fighter, regardless of who they are, does not want to get knocked out. Now, when you are a guy who is known for knocking people out, and you're fighting another guy who is known for knocking people out, something is going to happen to where you go, okay, if I go and try to unload on him, and he catches me, I'm going night-night. And then the other guy's thinking the same exact thing. So mm-hmm. now you got this fucking, this back-and-forth kind of, not even a check. But I was like, this is kind of like a chess match. My dad goes, more like a fucking checkers match. I was like, you know what? You're actually right. It is a little bit more
totally
like checkers. Because, you know, it wasn't too advanced, but I did like the whole, it was not so much of an anticipation, but I can kind of see what the other one was trying to do, you know?
Well, I could see what Derek Lewis was trying to do, but I could not see what Francis Ngannou was trying to do.
Yeah.
He wasn't getting into range. He wasn't fight. He like if you go watch his other fights, he wasn't fighting his fight at all.
No, and he did not want to get knocked out.
He didn't want to get knocked out because he didn't want to lose two in a row. So, I mean, that loss to Stipe clearly affected him.
And
Derek Lewis will get in a slugfest with you if you get into range and you start throwing. He will throw with you. But he was looking for counter shots, and it was clear because when Ngannou would even start to press forward, you could mm-hmm. see him get ready to throw a shot.
He was trying to anticipate
what he was going to do. I mean, but it forced him to throw kicks, which at least showed he was pretty athletic.
Yeah, you know what? Is that the first time we've ever seen him throw kicks?
He's thrown a couple kicks, but switch kicks?
Yeah.
Pretty fly. I couldn't throw those.
I kind of want to try it, but I'm worried it's going to hurt. another thing too is, look at how Lewis is moving, right? He mentions his back is hurt. You can tell his fucking back is hurting him in that fight. Because the way he's like upright and like he's kind of
always got that a little bit, though. He's got a little bit of a weird stance.
Look in the second round how stiff he is. Like, I'd go back and rewatch it. You'll notice, like, okay, you can tell there's something going mm-hmm. on there. But, you know, I feel like they could have, the problem was they weren't using enough feints. I think feints are not even huge. A lot of people don't use feints, man. And I'm starting to notice that a little bit more, even in my own training. Like, I'm watching, you know, certain fighters when they go against certain guys who are more counter strikers, and, you know, everyone thinks, oh fuck, well, I just gotta go in and be like real fast and hard. It's like, no, man, you gotta feint, get them to bite on.
Yeah, you
it,
gotta
and
draw
you
their
go,
movement, right?
And you know, Ngannou, I think at a point he thought maybe he fainted. But like it wasn't like he wasn't really selling it because he wasn't committing.
Yeah, well, if you don't move your feet, like that's a part of the sell, man. Like that's a part of it. You, like, move your hips.
Yeah,
you know, like
he landed nine punches or nine strikes.
Exactly. Right? That's a when Sarah and I were watching the Adesanya fight, she was saying the way he moves his hips, mm-hmm. like to faint, reminded her of Anderson Silva.
Yeah,
and I was like, that's an excellent call, and not enough fighters do it in a realistic way. You get a lot of guys that do that, like Lyoto Machida, like almost like he's dancing, moving his mm-hmm. hips thing. But yeah, I mean, you got to move more than your hands, like mm-hmm. to try, you know, because if you're not in range to hit someone, who can? Hey, Jake.
Yeah.
You know, I'm obviously that's a terrible punch, but I can't.
Yeah, you're punching over the
but lines. You get it. Like
yeah, no, I got
I can't reach you from here. Mm-hmm. You know, like. I just don't understand what he was thinking. I also, after the fight, Dana White, as critical as he's ever been of anyone, talking about how Francis Ngannou's a diva and all this shit, like,
I didn't see anything.
So this is crazy. This is Dana White
fill me in.
With a fucking bow around. This is Dana White. He's talking about how this guy bought into his own hype. He thinks he's a superstar. He's a huge diva. You know, before his last fight, he went to France. He didn't even train. And then he comes here and he trains and you can't even tell and da, 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 all this stuff. Go back to before his last fight. Francis Ngannou is going to be the biggest star we've ever seen. This guy's the next big thing. Like, bro, who made the hype train? You did, dude. Like you said all that stuff. Like, why do you think he believes it, man? You're talking about a guy with a pretty limited mixed martial arts background, and you're telling him that he's going to be the next big thing. Oh, I wonder why he fucking bought into it, dude. And you're acting like you had nothing to do with it. Like, come on, man. Let's be real here. Like, he lost a devastating loss to UFC, you know, in a title fight that he probably was certain he was going to win. Because I'm going to go out on a limb and say most people who are getting ready to fight for a title in the UFC don't go in there thinking they're going to lose. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't fight to assume that you're going to lose most times, right? There's a handful of guys that probably go in there and think, maybe I'll win tonight, maybe I won't, and they're doing it for a paycheck, and I get it. Yeah. But if you're at the level where you're fighting for a UFC title, you probably don't think you're gonna go in there and lose. And if you do, god damn, I don't see how you think you're gonna win. But you know, so Dana White, like, I get it, it was a shitty performance, but like, let's not act like this is entirely his fault. You know, remember, we're watching a fighter who oftentimes is aggressive try to counter punch.
Mm-hmm.
So you go in there thinking maybe Derek Lewis is going to attack you, and you end up waiting. You know, like, sometimes that shit happens, man. Like, styles make fights, and it happens, and they're boring fights. I will say one thing I liked was at the end of the fight, Joe Rogan didn't even go in and interview either of them.
That was weird.
I thought that was kind of weird, but at the same time, I was like, okay. Nobody wanted to hear what those guys had to say in that moment.
I did.
Yeah. But the fans didn't. Yeah. The fans wanted the main event at that point.
Do you think that he went in and interviewed him? Because it right after the fight, they cut to like a...
No, I don't think he did.
Because you notice how they cut to like something? So like, I was wondering, like, maybe he did go in, but the broadcast is like, fuck that.
Well, he probably got up to do it, and I'm guessing that Dana White said don't go in.
Yeah, I just wondered if they heard it in the arena and we didn't or something.
Because I was watching in the ring as they went away, and they're just hugging and walking out. They were looking for the exit, so I was like, all right, man. Like, that boy, you want to talk about proving a point? Jesus. Yeah.
Well, Dana White, first off, piece of shit. I just want to say that because... Fuck, you know what, man? He's a motherfucker. I hate the UFC. I fucking really do. I don't give a fuck.
It's hard to want to support the UFC, but at the same time, you want to support the sport and a lot of the fighters that you like and a lot of the fighters that you want to see are in, you know, they're in the UFC.
It's hard, man.
It's like the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? Go watch the CFL?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, okay, so... Me being a fighter, so like, I see this differently than probably fucking 99.9% of the people. It's so hard for me to support this you know, this company and shit when they treat fighters the way they do. Mm-hmm. I get it. It wasn't the most exciting fight. I fucking get it. But you guys don't understand what it's fucking like stepping into that ring, knowing that you're going to fucking have the possibilities of getting knocked unconscious, losing fucking years of your life. And, you know, no one understands our pressure. No one understands the shit that they put on us and all that crap when we go out there and we go out and try to perform, right? Yeah. Sometimes it just doesn't fucking happen.
Absolutely.
And for him to ridicule someone after he fucking built them up and did all this shit for them and da-da-da-da, like, fuck you, man, you know? Have some fucking respect, all right? Yeah, okay, maybe he had a shit. We don't know what's going on in his fucking life, all right? Mm-hmm. And for him to go, he's this and that, and he's a fucking diva and da-da-da-da. Well, fuck you. You're a fucking diva, you know?
Oh, he is the king of the divas.
Straight up, man. But
You know, the other thing is you got to remember Dana White is, he's a reactionary guy and he's super passionate. So the things that make him a total shitbag are also the things that you're like, oh man, that's awesome. You know, like
what? Back what in the day. What has he done that was awesome?
Back in the day, like, you know, I mean, he convinced the Fertittas to buy the UFC. He, you know, he convinced Spike to put the UFC on, you know, on TV. You know, he did a lot. He did a lot of shit that, you know, people will, you know, in the annals of time, like, he did things that were cool for the sport, although obviously he did it with himself in mind first, right?
Well, like, not I also that, but you let's not give him all the fucking credits. No. I guarantee you he wasn't the only one fucking behind, no, you know, the Spike.
Certainly not. Certainly not. But I'm just saying, like, you know, there are times where he says shit and people are like, oh man, this guy's a real, like, he's got like a George W. Bush vibe, right? Where you're like, this guy's an idiot. But sometimes you're like, hey, he's like a regular guy, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. I get what you're trying to say.
I don't get me wrong. Yeah. I think he's a total piece of shit. I think he's a huge D-bag, and he does not care about the fighters as a whole. Like, clearly, he cares more about the product coming out and the dollars coming in. Like, that's what he cares about. But I will say, just as a counter-argument to what you were saying, I understand that we don't, you know, people who don't fight don't understand the pressure and don't understand the fear or the anxiety or whatever that goes along with fighting. I will say, if you sign with the UFC and you're in that promotion and you're the co-main event on a huge fight card, like, you probably understand that there are some expectations behind your performance.
Sure.
Now, whether or not you're like, you are responsible to uphold that, you know, that unspoken part of the bargain. Mm-hmm. Like you realize that people didn't go there to see you throw the least amount, you know, the least amount of punches landed in a fight ever. Like,
no.
Like realistically,
don't get me wrong.
But then you think, so like this performance is forgivable to me on the end of Derek Lewis, because I could see what he was trying to do. And it's forgivable for Francis Ngannou because clearly this is the one time where he didn't have it all together, right? There was something wrong. Something was off, right? So I get that. But I think about a guy like Curtis Blaydes, who throughout his career has been criticized for, like, his lay and pray style. But you would have a million times rather seen a Curtis Blaydes fight where he just gets on top of someone and grinds out a win last night than have seen that. So where do your criticisms lie? Like, what's correct? You know what I mean? So I'm trying to look at it from multiple angles. Like, I try to look at it from your side where it's like, yeah, I get it. You don't want to go in there. It's like if you get in a fight with Mike Tyson, you don't want Mike Tyson to punch you, punch you in the head, but you're getting in a fight with Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
You know, or the same thing. It's like Derek Lewis and Francis Ngannou. Like, you don't want to be hit by those guys, but, like, man, you're signing this contract to do exactly that. Like, at a certain point, you have to expect that fighter is going to understand that he needs to, doesn't need to, but in theory, show up and perform to a level that people are expecting. Cause the other thing is people paid, like, so $65 is not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things, but there's a lot of people who are like, you know what? I want to buy a Francis Ngannou fight. I want to buy this card cause I want to support that guy. And if that's what you got from giving him your $65, and say you're a guy who makes $10 an hour, guess who you're not giving $65 to in 6 months?
Yeah, that's all great and grand. I get where you're saying, and
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
No, you know I get what I mean? It. But what I want everyone to understand is just, you know, like I was saying, you know, you got to add in all these different elements and stuff. We don't know everything going into it. Also, I mean, again, when it comes the way the how cutthroat our fucking our industry or whatever you want to call it is, you can't just be this fucking brainless fighter, right?
Absolutely.
So that's another thing too, is like, you got to think of game plans and stuff. I mean, what's the smartest way? What's the best way to beat, you know, a really good striker when you have no wrestling? You know, you got to play this fucking stupid patience game.
No, exactly. And, you know, and remember, there are fights where you expect it to be super good and then it's not. Like Tyron Woodley Wonderboy. Like, to me, I hate that fight and we've had to watch it twice.
Right. Yeah. I mean, fuck, dude. It's just the way it is. I just want people to understand there's just, you know, fighting, yeah, I get it's supposed to be this violent fucking thing and all this action, blah, blah, blah. But it's also a lot of strategy, you know?
Yeah.
And if you can't respect the strategy of it, because like I said, I wasn't even mad at the fight. Like, I got it was boring for most. But to me, I was watching it in a sense of going, okay, I'm watching Derek Lewis. What is he doing? He's throwing a lot more kicks now because he wants to stay out of the range of Nagano's fucking punches. Yeah. And, you know, it's this fucking tick for tat thing. It's just... You know, at a point, you gotta think more about your health and your safety. And I get that's kind of a bullshit cop out, whatever, because you're in the sport and you signed the contract and money and da 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 da. Well, we're not getting paid a lot, you know.
No. But in terms of the guys on that card, those two had decent payouts. I mean, you know, I mean, it's not a lot of money. Yeah. It's not as much as they probably should
exactly,
get.
Exactly, exactly.
But you have a performance like that, and you go. The argument is, well, why would I give them more?
No, I got you. But I mean, then you look at the resume of
Totally. Past fights. But I would say I agree with you because just like in that Darren Till fight that just happened where people were complaining about it, I loved it.
I did too. That was a great fight too.
Incredible fight. But, you know, it's not for everybody. Yeah. I get it. You know, I get it. It's not for everyone.
Another thing too, a lot of people forget is, you know, Mr. Dana White. In them, they've been known to cut people for boring fights.
Yep.
Barely anyone probably remembers this. Gerald Harris versus Michael Falco, or I can't remember his fucking name. Something M. Falco.
Yeah, Falco. Right?
Mm-hmm. Who ended up getting arrested later. But anyways, they both got cut. And Gerald Harris was on a 4-fight winning streak, and that was his first loss.
Yeah, he was really good.
And that fight was not even that bad. Like, it was just Gerald Harris was going in there. In the first round, he got caught by a big punch, and then he said, fuck. Like, what am I going to do? So now he's playing the back game. Mm-hmm. And then Dana White's like, this is so bad, da-da-da-da-da. Cut them both.
Yep.
You know, that's the kind of thing, like, that's the thing with the UFC. You never know when your last fight is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where now fighters are not fighting to win. They're fighting to not lose.
Yeah. And Dana White's very reactionary. I mean, that's just how he is. He's a knee-jerk reaction kind of guy.
Yeah, and he'll give people, you know, second and third chances just because, you know, oh, they're pretty. Or,
they,
you know,
they make money.
Oh, this lady, you know, she gave me a hand job. Like, no, you know, I'm not going to say anyone, but, you know, there's certain people who are in the UFC who should not be, you know? And, I don't know, man. It's hard for me to support this fucking company time and time again. Like, there's a lot of cards I just don't watch because of it.
Yeah.
And I just get the highlights.
No, it's fair. And, it's fair. There's a lot of people who do that. And they put out so much stuff, man. How can you watch it all?
You know, yeah, that's another why I'm backing hard the PFL. I'm backing fucking Bellator. I'm backing, you know, all these other organizations. We need fucking competition. We need these organizations so we still have fighters who have jobs outside the UFC.
Yep.
You know? Yep. And
well, I mean, and that's one of the reasons why we're going to always talk about Bellator cards, you know what I mean?
Well, not I mean, just because you despite fight for me being on it. Yeah, let's say I get cut from from Bellator, you know, God forbid, knock on wood, whatever. You know, cuz that's a reality, right? That could happen. I could have a fucking skid. I can go just get fucking mollywhopped my next 3 fights, whatever. I get cut. You know, let's say that happens or my contract's up and, you know, I get an offer from the UFC. But I'm not just going to look at just, oh, it's the UFC, I'm going. I'm going to look at what's best for me in the long run. And we need people to support these other organizations so fighters can actually make a living.
Absolutely.
You know?
No, it helps determine the market. You know what I mean?
Like, honestly, dude, like, just hearing that whole Dana White thing, I had no idea. I'm fucking heated right now. Yeah. I'm disgusted.
It's pretty crazy. You can look up some of the quotes. It's pretty interesting. I want to
fucking punch Dana White in the head. I don't know. You know what? I probably will never fight for the UFC. Even if I, let's say I become like the fucking number one lightweight in the world, I probably will never fight for the UFC.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the other thing is, right? I mean, look at a guy like Michael Chandler. He's made a hell of a living outside of the UFC.
I just think they mistreat us. They mistreat the fighters. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah, that's fair, man. I mean, and who knows? I mean, maybe in a couple of years, Dana White is not with the UFC anymore, and they, you know, something changes. Who knows, man?
Yeah. Well, you know the whole spearhead fucking movement thing, it's getting some ground going, and I really hope fucking... Lisa, whatever her name is. I'm, again, terrible with names. I really hope it takes off, man, because shit like this, it's got to stop. It's just got to stop.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Well,
what are we at time wise?
We're in pretty deep. We're a minute. We're an hour 28. So
all right, let's get into the
real deal. The thing that everybody came for, the main event. if you're listening, this is probably what you're listening for. You want to know what we think about it. I would hope. It's either that or you wanted to hear about how Jake almost shit his pants before he got to my house.
Yeah, we can do that another time. But yeah. Hey guys, it's weird. I don't want to say I'm like Nostradamus or anything, but I do know fighting. It's the weirdest thing, and I did call that.
You're not the only one, man. A lot of people made a lot of money on that fight.
He was a negative 250 underdog.
Well, negative
or positive, whatever.
He was a plus 250 underdog.
Yeah.
Was he really?
So. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
Or how's that work? Because I know Stipe was a negative 250.
So that means you're favorite. The favorite.
Yeah, he was a favorite.
Yeah, that means you.
So does it make DC plus 250?
Or not necessarily. Oh. So you could actually have double favorites in a fight. Like both guys. Like you could have two guys be like minus 125. Oh. Like they can put it however they want, which essentially makes the fight even. But basically the odds are set so that like. So if you're plus 125, mm-hmm. that means for every dollar I bet on you, I win $1.25.
Yeah.
If it's negative, that means you got to bet 250 to make a dollar. So like a lot of like big time gamblers, like this is how Floyd Mayweather makes money on himself, mm-hmm. is he bets large chunks on himself to make little amounts of money, but he knows he's going to win. So some people will do parlays and they'll pick underdog fights that they know are going to, that they feel very confident they're going to win out on. And then they'll pick like the more fights you put on a parlay, the more money you can make, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So like say there's three underdog bets that you're pretty certain you're going to clean up on. If you really want to cash on your parlay, you add a couple of favorites.
Okay.
You know, where it's like, okay, like Mighty Mouse is on a card, throw him on there because it just makes your odds longer. Okay. So, but
yeah, I just remember seeing Stipe being the favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be close, but still, man, like, goddamn, what a fight.
Well, what was your first initial thought when you were watching it? Because when I was watching, I was going, maybe DC fucked up, put on too much weight. He looked great. He did not look great.
He looked pretty hefty.
Yeah.
Like he looked pretty hefty. Like so we've seen him fight at heavyweight a few times and you know, he's always been a little bit thick, but he looked like he had been eating a bit. I mean, he weighed in heavier than Stipe.
Yep.
And Stipe is a natural heavyweight and he's
a natural 242.
I mean, and he's tall too. I mean, he's much taller than Cormier, but I thought Stipe had the momentum going into this fight, and that's why I picked him. Mm-hmm, I thought he would be able to, I actually thought he'd be able to keep DC away from him and outstrike him a little bit, and in a clinch he could kind of
neutralize it.
Yeah, maybe? A little bit. Even though like DC's good at getting people down to the canvas, mm-hmm. like. You know, if you can hold a guy against the cage, you can hold him against the cage, and that's time you could be winning the fight with little knees.
Which he was doing too, yeah,
yeah. And so early on in the fight, that's kind of how it was looking. And DC took a couple shots early,
right?
And I was like, boy, don't want to take too many of those.
Even Stipe took DC down, mm-hmm. right for a brief second. I mean, it was like, fuck, all right. I got a little nervous for that, but you know what was really making me nervous was DC's habits.
Yeah.
The way his hands were kind of flaring around.
And he was still dipping his head.
And he dipped so hard off to his right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, granted, Stipe's not known for head kicks, but that's why he gets
caught. But you watched it happen, so now you know that's a thing you can do.
Every time, right? Yep. I mean, John Jones called it. Mm-hmm. I think Anthony Rumble Johnson was looking for it.
But let's not forget, I mean, in the fight that John Jones caught the head kick, he was not winning that fight.
DC was winning
that fight.
Yeah, he was looking great. He was like fucking, yeah. But the thing, what I was trying to say was he's looking sloppy, like where his hands and stuff, like everything, mm-hmm. like anytime Stipe threw anything, it was like he was kind of flaring. And mm-hmm. it just almost seemed
he looked
like
a little panicked.
I almost want to say like, I don't feel like he trained that hard for that fight, man. I really don't.
Word is he was knocking people out in training camp. I imagine that maybe that made him a little complacent. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. He just seemed fundamentally off. Like his, he didn't seem as crisp. Like his striking wasn't as tight as it normally is. Mm-hmm. His clinch work wasn't it. You know,
but then when he would land a combination, you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, then it would show
that we know, and you're like, yeah. Oh my god, there
the
he
speed
is.
Would come in. Pop, pop.
That's exactly it. You said it. The word is his speed.
Yep.
He is faster than people almost think. Anybody he's mm-hmm. gonna fight. Like yep. like John Jones is quick. DC is fast. Like yeah. like that. That's why DC can hit guys like John Jones, like Alexander Gustafsson and Stipe as well as they can. He's sneaky fast.
Yeah. And then the Dominic Cruz was the one that was pointing out from the tall wasn't collar tie, but. You know, they had the over-under.
The overhook, yeah.
Yeah, the overhook, and then the way he slipped it in, wrapped around the body, and came right over top of that right hook. Boom, right on the money, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was screaming. I was like, oh, and the camera, boom. I was like, fuck yeah.
When he went down, I just lifted my arms up. I was like, yes. And I just put my arms up. I just was like, here he goes.
You know what? I don't think it could have happened to a better guy.
No way.
You know, I love Stipe, too. I hated that, you know, one of them had to lose. But I'm glad DC finally is getting his nod or his.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, there's one guy on the planet who can beat DC.
Yeah.
One guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, let's not try to pretend that anybody else is better than DC.
No.
Like let's be real. There's one guy on the planet who's been able to beat him. Everybody else is second fiddle, and when he's not in there, and he's not in there a lot, and that's his own goddamn fault.
Yeah,
like DC's the man, and nobody's more pissed about DC winning last night than John Jones. Like, let's get that straight.
I didn't even get to check his Twitter.
I didn't either. Said. I just got a message from someone that said, "Did Jones tweet anything?"
Yeah, like I was just thinking about it. I was like, "Fuck!" He was second. That was my second thought. Was even what was John Jones doing?
He's so pissed, dude. Like think about it. John Jones had it all and lost it all before he even reached the pinnacle.
Because that was his goal too. That was his goal to do
he
that.
He had Nike and all this shit. Whatever. Yep. DC's got two belts. DC's got the analyst spot. DC is going to fight Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Like John Jones is
everything
never having a payday. The same size that Daniel Cormier is about to have. Yeah. Like, it's not going to happen. Like DC is going to walk away with enough money to call it a life.
Yeah.
And good on him.
Just defend it once and be
you
done.
Know what I mean? Like,
right
good
off to
on
the
him.
Sunset.
Let's, exactly, man. And so I was thrilled. I was telling you that I watched the DC... what fight did I tell you I watched? The DC Josh Barnett fight this last week on my phone just to kind of like refresher, because I remember that fight being really telling for me about DC at heavyweight, and his ability to land combinations was just like God, it was overwhelming.
Yeah.
And even in that fight, the moments when I thought he was gonna finish them were when they were just striking, not when they were tied up, when they were striking. I actually, like, going back and watching it, I think like DC could have finished that fight if they didn't tie up
Barnett a few times.
Yeah, man. And so I thought, boy, like maybe he does have a chance against Stipe, but my concern was he really comes in running in with those hands, and he's got to punch up.
Yeah.
You know, he does, but man, he had a great game plan.
Fucking uppercuts too are nasty.
Oh, dude. Well,
so good.
I mean, and he said it like, yeah, we knew that he kept his hands low in this clinch position and that I could land this right. I knew, like, he knew he could land that. I mean, it wasn't like really an uppercut. It was like a
No, not for that. But if you watch before, like it's in the beginning of the round.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, beginning of the round when he catches
them
with
those
uppercuts.
Yeah, when he catches them with the uppercuts. Yeah.
Man,
well,
he has
always
good,
lands those.
Yeah.
So get like
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They're clean.
Yeah, they're clean.
Like, he's very, you know, he's one of those guys who just doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And, you know, everyone's like, John Jones is the only guy that, you know, Pat Healy, you know, he tweeted out, like, this just proves that John Jones is the greatest of all time. And I commented back a gif like, ugh, because it's not saying that John Jones is the greatest of all time, because here's the thing we have with John Jones, a problem. He did test positive. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. When there's smoke, there is fire. And I have heard multiple stories, not on record in any interviews, about John Jones and his fucking use. So he has used fucking PEDs. That's the fact of the fucking of everything. There's been multiple people who said it who have known him throughout his life. Mm-hmm. He is not what makes. I'm fucking all over the place right now.
Well, let's remember it, John Jones had to go wrestle a junior college for a reason too. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if you're a super athlete, if you're a D1 super athlete, why aren't you at a D1 school, bro?
Yeah, and then you know he's this whole I'm a god man. I would never do that. Da 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 da. This and that. But I do cocaine, huh? I like to get drunk and fucking crash into this and blah blah blah. But I'm for the Lord and I don't believe in that and that. Get the fuck out of here, man. You're as dirty as a motherfucker can be. You know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, man. Fuck John Jones, DC, fucking Viva La DC.
Yeah, I agree. You know? Viva La DC.
Viva La DC. Yeah. Not Washington DC. That place is a shithole.
Yeah. I was thrilled though, man. I was happy for DC. It was a great fight. It was a great performance. And you know, another thing that happened was we had like the worst commentary team.
I'm glad someone else noticed.
We had the worst commentary team: Joe Rogan and John Anik and Dominic Cruz. Yeah. Dominic Cruz and Joe Rogan should not commentate together ever.
Am I wrong for tweeting what I tweeted? Like, did it seem kind of combative?
They always do, man. They always do. But here's the thing: I felt like the moment that it made sense to have Dominic Cruz there was after the card was over. He was analyzing and breaking down the thing. And like I said, man, as an analyst, nobody better. He broke down the position. He talked about it being a Greco-Roman position, which I didn't even realize. You know what I mean? Like, he's smart. He sees things a certain way, but he's a shitty color commentary guy.
Yeah.
And put him behind a desk. He's amazing, but I don't need him. You know what? I don't like a three-man team. I'm just going to say it. I need a two-man team. I don't need three voices. Listen,
I would love for Goldie and Rogan to be back together.
Yeah, know? Well, give me any two combination unit. It's fine. The guy that was with Jimmy Smith this weekend is good too. So
who was that?
I don't remember his name, but those two did well. I like those guys together just fine.
Yeah,
I even like Dan Hardy. And his British buddy that he commentates with. It's cool, man. But I just need two people.
Three is too much.
Three out of there, man. Yeah. And PFL, don't have Randy Couture be a commentary guy. I didn't listen.
I don't know.
Well, you can barely hear him. He's so goddamn quiet. Really? Get him off the microphone. He did terrible in the UFC as a commentary guy, too.
His wife or girlfriend or whoever she is, she's hot. I saw her there. She's young as fuck, too. I saw Randy in the lobby, kind of give him like a little head nod and... Man, his lady's boobies were all over the place. I tell you, man. All good, man. I'm speechless thinking about it. Like,
not speechless about DC becoming the double champ.
No, I'm talking about them double Ds that fucking Couture is going home to.
That's what I was hoping for. I set him up, you knock him down.
Yeah. What is it? We crack him wise. Oh,
man, we sure do. Yeah, but I'm thrilled for DC, and I gotta say, man, there is nobody who's gonna handle a press like this whole press junket that they're gonna do with Brock and DC.
Oh yeah, we didn't even talk about Brock.
Nobody is gonna handle that better than DC. Yeah. There's not a Anik said it after a fight. Nobody's a bigger professional wrestling fan than DC.
Exactly,
he's at all the WrestleManias. Like I'm so happy for him. I love that Brock got in there, saw it, and knew, shoved him. Brock
DC knew. Sold the shove. And he was like,
DC sold it so hard. Yeah. I was so into it. And then fucking Brock Lesnar. Oh, my God. Brock Lesnar on the, like, he has no charisma in the WWE on the microphone because they won't let him say what he wants to say.
Because
but
the monsters aren't supposed to talk.
Yeah, dude. But, man, in the UFC, he gets the mic, like, Ngannou's a piece of shit.
Miocic's a piece of shit.
Like, oh, my God.
And then
he breaks the camera with the microphone? Yeah. Oh, my God. That was
wondering
incredible.
If anyone else noticed that. Like, that, he really fucking broke that shit.
Yeah, dude. Man, that was so exciting. I was so into it. And, you know... In my mind, I'm like, DC's just going to walk right through him. You know, in my mind, that's what I think. But God damn, Brock Lesnar is so big. He's so much bigger than DC. It's crazy.
I will say this. Go back, watch Randy Couture, Brock Lesnar. Randy Couture was out grappling him in the clinch, had him against the cage. And I think that's going to be the same case here.
Well, go watch Brock Lesnar and Cain Velasquez.
Yeah, as well. I mean, Kane is a little bit bigger than DC. But yeah, I think, you know, DC's gonna mollywop Brock. Come on.
Oh man.
Come on.
I mean, I hope so. I mean, the one chance he has is he's really big and really strong.
Yeah.
I mean, and you go back and you watch like when Brock fought Heath Herring and punched him, he hit him so goddamn hard the guy did a backward somersault.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I just don't think he's gonna be fast enough to hit DC. I think DC is gonna get inside on him, push him against the cage, and he's gonna use that Greco.
My thought is Brock is not gonna be able to stand with DC. So if they get into a striking range, like he's gonna have problems. And if you go back and watch Brock's last fight, how hard he was gassing against
Mark Hunt. Yeah.
And we're not talking about a guy Mark Hunt is a skilled striker, but you don't think of Mark Hunt as like a well rounded mixed martial artist.
No.
And Brock had some trouble with him. And I feel like DC is gonna be too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you know, Brock hates getting hit too. Once he gets caught with a 1-2, he's gonna fucking cover up like a bitch.
Oh god, man, it's just if you go watch the highlights between the fight that he had with Kane and then the one that he had with Overeem, it's like, you know, I mean, it might as well be CM Punk out there. It's crazy how bad they busted him up. However, you know, and actually, who was it? The guy that had the interim title that he fought that retired and became an engineer.
Shane Carwin.
Mm-hmm. Shane Carwin was Mollywalked destroying him. Brock, yep. And you know, and gassed himself
out.
You
know what, Brock? You know, I think it shows Brock is he's a tough guy. Regardless,
Good wrestler.
He'll fight whoever.
He will fight.
Yeah,
anyone.
Right. And you know, I got to take my hats off to him for that. And he'll talk the shit. So fuck
it. Dude. And he's going to sell that card so hard. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. And they're going to have a big, giant payday. It's going to be incredible, you know. Yeah. And even if DC loses that fight, you know what he's going to retire with? Light heavyweight strap, because he's still got that.
Yep.
So I read today that DC intends to defend it against Brock, fight one more time, and then retire.
I think he wants to fight Jones one more time.
I don't know if he'll fight Jones again.
I think that's what he wants.
But I don't think that's what he'll do. I think he'll defend the light heavyweight title one more time, and then he'll retire. And I don't think it'll be against John Jones, because I don't think John Jones is going to come back.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think?
Mm-mm.
Damn, let's just end it there and let people speculate.
Please do. Speculate.
All right.
1 hour, 45 minutes.
Okay. This is a good one. It didn't seem that long. We had a lot to talk about, man. It was good shit.
I know. It was fun. I'm glad we waited this time so we could see the fights.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We can see the fights. Next time there's a big card, we'll do that again. But hopefully we can like get together and watch it, because that'll be fun.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
But cool.
Yeah. Follow us on social media at Uber Smitty, at David Golden MMA.
Yeah.
Subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. You guys aren't doing that. It's cool. I don't mind. It doesn't hurt my feelings or anything.
Can we pretend like they are?
No.
God damn
no,
it.
No. To my wife didn't review our podcast. Come on, man. Get out there. There's plenty of you listening.
Well, I'm glad I took a shit without saying hi then.
Yeah. Yeah. Your number one fan didn't rate and review our podcast. What the hell?
His brother did. Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah. This is why I always got to do one dig every episode to Ricky.
Yeah. That's yeah. and drink core water and go follow Scott Plested and watch Bellator. And tell Chael that the writer and the fighter is better than You're Welcome. And that's all we really need. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Toodaloo.
Later.